Chazal tell us, as a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of despise, Klai Yisrael had to wonder how to stay in the Midbar for 40 years. And the Doradeya died out, and we know even on Tisha B'Av we discussed it. We have a Bechia. So that's what Chazal tell us, the severity of the sin of Meraglim, and he had to wander 40 years and not enter Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal tell us as well that why 40 years? 40 years was for, apparently the Meraglim stayed in Eretz Yisrael 40 days. So 1 year for each day. So therefore, that's why they spend 40 years. The question Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked is like, what do you mean? I know that Meraglim spent 40 days in Eretz Yisrael, but tradition has it, they only spoke Lashon Hara 1 day. So we should have been punished 1 year. Why 40 years? And similarly, there's a famous Rabbi Menachem Zemba points out the Mishnah Bikurim, when he it teaches us the process of taking off the first fruits, etc. So the Mishnah lists three examples: a fig, a pomegranate, and grapes. Why pick these three out of the Shiva Minim? Why not pick all seven? Or why? What's so special about these three? So Rav Menachem Zemba quotes from the Arizal that the mitzvah of Bikurim is a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. That the clearly there's a connection. The Meraglim brought these three fruits back from Eretz Yisrael, and that's the mitzvah. What does the Arizal mean? How is the mitzvah of Bikurim a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim? What does one have to do with the other? And why 40 years, why not 1 year? Because they only spoke Lashon Hara once. So let's try to understand the yisod of the sin of the Meraglim, and then we could try to answer these questions. Or the Mefreshim will try to answer these questions. So the Rashi quotes from Chazal in the beginning of Parsha Shvach, that he says, what's the juxtaposition between the story of the Meraglim that begins Parsha Shvach and the end of Parsha Bahaloska, which is the end of the story of Miriam, with Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother Moses, Moshe. So Rashi quotes from Chazal that they saw what happened to Miriam, and they went it anyway. Rabu v'lo lachu musur. In other words, instead of learning the lesson from Miriam, it's like she was punished for speaking Lashon Hara. They should have learned the lesson, but they didn't. So the question is like, what do you mean? Like, obviously, speaking Lashon Hara about a person is worse than speaking about an inanimate object. But when you're speaking about a person, you're causing harm. The land of Israel, at least maybe on a metaphysical level, but you're not doing anything like we learned out from the Challah Friday night. We cover the Challah, not to embarrass the Challah, is usually king of the hill. So it's a Kavah Chomer. The Challah has no feelings, yet we do it. How much more so to treat a person? So what exactly is the connection here? What do you mean, Ra'u v'lachu musur? Like, they didn't go ahead and speak Lashon Hara about people. Why are they, why do they assume they should have, what, in other words, there must be a common ground between speaking Lashon Hara about a person and speaking Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. And the Gemara in Erechin tells us, Tezvav, that in fact, that we learn from the Meraglim how severe speaking Lashon Hara is. Because he only spoke about rocks and stones, trees, and yet look at the punishment. How much more so when we speak about Vaish. So what's the comparison? So the Bali Machshava explained that the punishment wasn't for the actual speaking Lashon Hara. You're right, it's a big difference between Lashon Hara about an inanimate object and Lashon Hara about people. But the question is, like always, what's the root cause of a sin? What's the root cause of Lashon Hara? It's based on a terrible midah, bad midah, of perspective. In other words, either is the cup half full or half empty? How do you view it? Do you see people? Do you see objects? You see clothing, houses, whatever it may be. Do you see? Obviously, everything in life has both good and bad. It's nothing's usually kulo tov or kulo ra. So the question is, what do you see? And what do you see in people? What do you see in things? So clearly, what does it mean? Rashi quoting the Chazal. We're not equating Lashon Hara to people and inanimate objects. Of course, it's much worse. So therefore, the Meraglim should be less bad. But we're talking about Midos here. If it's the same Midah Ra, when you speak Lashon Hara about someone, it's the same Midah Ra you're speaking about Eretz Yisrael, or someone's house, or clothes, or glasses, whatever else you're talking about. They should have taken the lesson from Miriam, and instead of seeing the bad in everything, they should have seen the positive in everything. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. He quotes from the Uraim that you're not even allowed to talk Lashon Hara. Well, you're not even allowed to talk Lashon Hara about yourself for the same reason. But even talking about, you know, someone's possessions and clothes and all that. Why? Because it's the same Yisod. It's saying it's the seeing the negative in people. That's why you can't speak Lashon Hara about yourself either. That's the whole discussion. Can you or can't you? But if you assume you can't, that's what it's based on. Like, why? It's the Yisod. It's not the actual Lashon Hara, the words. It's where they come from. And that's why we find there's a famous Chovis Levavos they bring down that a Rebbe, a Hasidish Rebbe, was walking with his Talmidim, and they walked by and they saw an animal, a carcass on the ground. The Talmidim said, "Ugh, that stinks, terrible." And the Rebbe said, "But yeah, but look how white his teeth are." And in other words, the Rebbe is trying to teach the lesson, even though when you see a dead animal, what do you see? You could see a smelly dead animal, a smelly carcass, or you could see something positive. And that's the story as well with Rabbi Eliezer Silver. There was, you know, many Holocaust survivors, some who weren't from became from, others who were from became non from. And so he met one of them afterwards, I assume, who went through the concentration camps. So he asked him what happened. He said there was two there in the, I don't know if it was Auschwitz or somewhere else, but it says one of the Yidden owned a sitter, and someone asked if they could borrow it to daven. So the guy said, "Okay, yeah, of course you can, but give me the food for the day." So the person said, "Okay," the person took it. He took the sitter and he had to give him his food. So the person, so aggravated, how could someone who considers himself from, they won't lend a sitter, so of course they're not justifying it. I'm not justifying it, but Rabbi Eliezer Silver said, "That's true, but I don't see that. I see the positive. I see, wow, look how much this Jew wanted to daven. He would be even willing to give up his..." We're not justifying the other person, but when you see things in life, you could choose to see the bad or the good. It's a choice. And therefore, it all depends on your perspective. And that's the pshat of Rav Chaim and Shmulevitz. He says, it's true that he only spoke Lashon Hara for one day, so it should have been 1 year. Why 40? Because it was, as we're saying, it's not the sin of actual speaking Lashon Hara, it's the yisod of the sin, that of seeing the negative in people. So therefore they were discussing negative, you know, there was, it was only because of the 40 days of their cumulative negativity that caused them to speak to Lashon Hara. You don't have to speak Lashon Hara in a vacuum. And that's the pshat in this Arizal, that the mitzvah Bikurim is a tikkun for the Cheda Meraglin. What's the connection? And why do they bring the same fruits, grapes, pomegranates, etc.? Because as we just said, the sin of the Meraglin was they viewed things in the negative. They lacked Hakaras HaTov. But still, mitzvah Bikurim, the world was given based on it, recognizing the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. When a person has Hakaras HaTov, that means he sees the good, and that exactly was the tikkun for the sin of Meraglim, who were rooted in seeing the world in a terrible perspective. And that's what we learned. That's why the Meraglim was so severe. It wasn't just the sin of Lashon Hara, because it was about inanimate object, but it goes down, as the Baalei Machshava explained, and that explains why it was 40 years, and it was so severe. And therefore, our tikkun is that in life we're challenged all the time with difficult situations, and we have a choice to either see the good or to see our challenges. Obviously, you have to see them both, but you have to be able to have the positive look and find something positive from the situation. Easier said than done, but that's the tikkun. If Bikurim is the tikkun, so we have to have Hakaras HaTov and appreciate all the tremendous gifts that our Kaddish Baruch Hu has given us.